I guess you're stuck with me again. It's great to see all the fathers, all the men in the congregation today. This weekend, being Father's Day, I'm drawn to think of my own dad and the way he led us to church and was a rock of faith for our family. So it brings my heart a lot of joy to see all of you men, fathers, with or without kids here. It's great to be with you in that regard. I love the image of a tree. And speaking of my dad, we have this one tree on our family farm. I'm originally from Osborne County, and there's a hill south of our farm where my uncle built a bench that sits right next to a giant tree. My dad passed away when I was young, and then shortly after that, his dad, my grandpa, passed away. And so my uncle built this bench in memory and honor of them, and then branded it with my dad and my grandfather's cattle brands. And so we have this marker that always reminds me of my father. But next to it is this giant tree. And I love the image of the tree that we get in scripture. Trees are majestic, they're slow moving, they're giant. Sometimes we don't always see the fullness of it. You have to kind of step back for a second to really see the full image of the tree. But the image of the tree is used everywhere in scripture. We see it at the very beginning of our Christian story with two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then sacred scripture also ends with the image of a tree, the tree of life on the bank of the river of the water of life. We read about this in Revelation 22. So scripture both starts and ends with this image of a tree. Also, the climax of scripture is when Christ mounts the wood of the cross that becomes the new tree of life. A few more examples. Psalm 1 talks about the just man as a tree planted near a stream of water who bears fruit. And then today we hear in Ezekiel how the Lord will take a shoot off the cedar tree and plant it on the mountain of Israel. It will bear fruit and be a home for birds of every kind. This goes hand in hand with a prophecy we get from Isaiah in Isaiah 11, where we hear that the Lord will proclaim that a shoot comes forth from the stump of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David, and then David is the king who the Messiah is to come from. And so Christ becomes the son of his father David, the Messiah, that starts this tree, that is the shoot that comes from the stump of Jesse. The tree that Paul talks about in Romans 11, that we are grafted onto. This is the tree of Israel, the tree of God's family, and it was set up for the Jews, but then we, through Christ, get grafted on. The Gentiles become part of this tree, and we get a share in this because of Christ and his cross. The tree is a beautiful image. It's rich and it's used throughout all of scripture. And it makes sense, having this image of the tree, to understand why Jesus would use the image of a seed to talk about the kingdom. The seed of faith that gets planted in us, and then the kingdom of God grows in us, his children, the children of the Father. Do you remember what Jesus says when he first proclaims the gospel? His first words, he's baptized by John, and then he goes and proclaims after his time in the desert. And what's his first words? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God, the tree of Israel, is at hand. It is here and now. I like the parable of the mustard seed for many reasons. There's a lot of different images you can bring out with the mustard seed. But it reminds us how difficult it is to see the kingdom of God. A lot of seeds are small, but the mustard seed is particularly small. It's difficult to see. And it is difficult for us also to see the kingdom of God, to live with an awareness that the kingdom of God is here and now. It is difficult for us to see it and to live with the confidence in it, knowing that the tree of God's family is alive and growing among us. We don't always keep that before us, but it's true, it is growing inside of us and among us. The precious blood of Christ in this Eucharist that we celebrate on this altar today continues to water the seed of faith in us and make the kingdom of God present here and now. This growth, like the work of any farmer or gardener, as I'm sure some of you know, is not up to us primarily. The farmer can only do so much. We had a hailstorm come through. I don't know if some of you guys got hit with hail over the last several days. But that just comes out of the blue. There's nothing you can do about it. The farmer works, does the best that he can, and then the rest is up to God. And it is the work of God also that makes the faith come alive in us. We're co-workers in the vineyard, so we can help to cultivate the land, but then God works. And he works through us, but he works through us when we work in love. This is our motivation. And this is the secret to helping the kingdom of God grow. We live out of the love of God for the love of God. It is Christ's supreme love on the cross for the Father that grafts us onto the tree of life. It's not like the amount of suffering, even though it was an excruciating death. It's not the amount of whips from the Romans. It's not the weight of the cross itself. It was the supreme love that Christ had for the Father in offering himself on the tree of the cross that wins us our salvation, his love. And when we work out of love, then we can be co-workers with Christ in building up the kingdom. We call this charity. But there's a misunderstanding of charity in our contemporary world. We've misconstrued it and reduced it to merely like being nice, good works, being kind to somebody else. And this is true, like that's a good thing. I'm not trying to say be mean. But charity is more than that. Charity comes from God alone, and it is a certain friendship with God, a deep, intimate friendship of love. To try to put that in an example, like in perspective, because friendship sometimes seems kind of bland. Like we have a lot of friends, some are better than others, but this is the richest friendship, charity. We call marriage conjugal friendship. And so to look at the love between a husband and wife as a deep, rich, intimate friendship, and then to think of charity as deeper yet, as fuller, as richer, as above and beyond the greatest marriage you can imagine, now we're talking about charity. And when we live in this charity, work in this charity, and are motivated by this charity, this love, then we build up the kingdom of God. And we can do all things by this love, by this charity, not just the small good works that we normally think of when we think of charity. We can do all things, from cooking dinner, to cleaning the house, to showing kindness to that annoying co-worker. Sorry, stumbling now. Or the most mundane, ordinary, everyday tasks. When we do that for love of God, then it's more than that task. And then, yes, also helping the poor and helping the homeless. That's our motivation. For the love of God, we love those people. We love the homeless. The key marker of charity, of doing charity, of being charitable, is the motivation. I do this, Lord, for love of you. I do this, God, because you loved me, and now I can live my life in love for you. When we do all things out of love for God, the seed of faith grows into the tree of life, because it was God who planted the tree, and it's God who has first loved us.